Country Life on Midlands 103. Brought to you by W. Orshaw Burlington Business Park Tullamore, supplier of New Holland's tractors in the Midlands. WORshaw.ie.
You're very welcome to Country Life this evening here on Midlands 103. MJ Cleary with you for the next hour, bringing you the latest from the Midlands and further afield from the worlds of agriculture, food and agribusiness. Thank you all for joining me. Look, a very tough week for everybody involved in agriculture and farming. There's no point saying any different this evening on the programme. Weather is really taking its toll, and it is hard to be upbeat, especially after Monday. Monday was just a torrential day's rain in County Offaly, and indeed in most of the country from people I am speaking to. It was just a dreadful day, really undid any of the good work from last week. I'm going to try and have Cathal Nolan from Ireland's Weather Channel on the programme over the course of the hour, just to give us an update on what is happening next week. I was speaking to him earlier, look, there is some shoots of good news for next week. Although, look, I am on the Medairn app as much as anybody at the moment, and it is subject to change. It's changing very, very, very quickly. You might log on to it now, and in 2 hours' time, it's a little bit different. At the moment, next few days are given dry, with definitely a rise in temperatures, and that is the big one to get growth going. We just need a bit of drying weather. Piers Kelly from Chagas is going to speak to me in a moment. Chagas have set up a helpline to assist farmers who are in dire straits, which is, look, it's most of us right now. And also, there has been a fodder support scheme launched by the department. We'll have the particulars on those now in just a moment. Also on the programme this evening, with farmers being pushed to the limits in relation to purchasing fodder and concentrates during this period, additional financing may be necessary to bridge the gap for these weeks. It's National Cultivate Week throughout credit unions across the country. That's a loan package that's aimed specifically at farmers. And Laois woman Belinda Gies from People's First Credit Union in Port Laois will join me to chat about the range of products on offer. Joe Healy, former IFA president, who is a spokesperson for the Cultivate programme, will also join us for a word on just how successful Cultivate has been since its inception. Look, there's some good rates available there. And one of the big things with the Cultivate loan is you are not penalised if you pay it back in advance. So if you get a 6 or an 8 year term loan, and if you pay it back within 4 or 5 years, there's no penalties as a result of that. And I think that's a big win for something. Also, the Tullamore Show sees its official launch this weekend. And along with it is a Young Handlers event. It's here in Tullamore Mart on Sunday coming. It's entitled Showmanship Basics. It's a great idea, especially for families where showing of livestock may not be something that people were brought up with. But young children now have an interest and are looking to learn. We're going to be chatting to Martina Neville about the launch and this event a little bit later. And when we think of the Tullamore Show, we think of a sunny autumn day. So maybe that'll help us break the mindset of this this weather and this rain at the moment when we're speaking about it a little bit later. And it's also lovely to have an event for young handlers, because at the end of the day, they are the future of all shows. And great to have an event where they can be brought in. There's going to be actual livestock there as well, where they can practice on, and they're going to be ran through all the different basics of showmanship. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. The Aubrac Society are holding a bull sale in Cashel, County Tipperary this Saturday. And with over 20 bulls on offer, there will be lots to choose from. Obviously, big push on Aubracs over the last couple of years. They're high up in the dairy beef index, and gestation is good as well. So they're dual purpose, dairy and beef. There's only over 20 bulls, as I said, on offer. And James Donlan is a Galway man. He's the chair of the Aubrac Society. He's going to chat to me in a little bit about this sale and the mechanics and the particulars of it. So stay tuned for that. Now, as I said at the start of the programme, weather. Piers Kelly from Chagas now joins me to give an update on things from their side. Piers, many thanks for joining me on the programme.
Thanks, MJ.
Piers, as I said at the outset, look, it's low. The mood is low at the moment in agriculture and in farming. It is now the 10th of April. I was on this time last week and we had a great day on the Tuesday. Wednesday wasn't a bad day and people were getting up and about. I saw someone rolling, actually, I think it was last Thursday, and I said to myself, the spring is here. If you see a tractor and a roller out on grassland, you know, ground is drying up. But then we just had that tough weekend. And Monday, I think, was the day where everybody just put their heads down and said, is there ever going to be an end to this?
Yeah, it's exactly what you're saying there, MJ. You get 2 or 3 drying days and then you get a wet day that undoes all the good weather, you know, and you're back to square one. I suppose we are getting into longer days, though. As you said, the temperature is starting to rise now. Those days that there's a bit of wind and a bit of heat and that, you know, the ground will dry out quicker than it would have a month ago. even with the same weather, because just the length of day. So, and as well as that, what you were saying there a minute ago, in terms of the weather, hopefully, listen, as I say, it can change, and that's probably been the problem, is that, you know, you get a bit of optimism, a bit of hope, and then the thing does change. But hopefully, we'll stretch into next week, and we'll move on, and we'll start seeing those couple of dry days coming. And that's all really we need, you know, is a few dry days, and then a lack of a torrential downpour. You know, a few dry days, a little bit of rain after that won't have a huge impact, you know, unless the soil is very wet.
And Chagas, yourselves, Pierce, have set up a couple of different measures. One is a helpline for farmers, and I know you're in charge of the beef one, you've dairy one as well. What's happening here, Pierce? Can you give us the details on that, please?
Yeah, this is something we would have done in the past, MJ, for kind of when there was fodder crisis. Back in 2018, we did the same, set up a helpline. And it's really for people. Listen, I suppose what I'd say the first thing that you should do is, if you're in a bit of bother in terms of, you know, running out of fodder, seeing how you can stretch it, or slurry up the top of tanks, what can you do? Fertilizer, worried about silage for next year and that. I'd say if you're a Chagas client, the first thing to do would be pick up the phone and ring your advisor. But a lot of people don't have a Chagas advisor, or some people don't want to do that. So we have a national helpline, and people can ring that, and it's open 9 o'clock in the morning until 9 in the evening, Monday to Saturday, for the next 2 weeks. And if needs be, we'll push it out. And we're getting a good few calls on that. Just talking to people that are manning that those calls today, they're saying there is a good few people ringing in, which just does show that, you know, there's people are in a bit of bother on this one.
Yeah, well, absolutely, Pearson. Even being able to pick up the phone and give a call and to chat someone for a few minutes is a help at these times, especially farmers who are isolated in rural areas, maybe don't have neighbours, don't have someone close by. Where can people get the numbers for that, Pierce, if they pop what?
Yeah, they get on the Chagas website, right? I mean, we can give it to you. I mean, so the grassland, we've two helplines. One is
shout them out there.
Yeah, the grassland one is 059, the Bo Carlo number is 059-918. 3155.
Yeah.
And if it's a tillage, like in one way, the tillage people are in a little bit more bother than some grass, and in that there's just crops not going in, and a lot of work not being done on winter crops as well. So we have a separate line for them. So it's 059-918-3533. So you can ring those. So that's, as you say, Le, if you just want to pick up the phone and ring and chat through something with someone, that's no problem. It doesn't have to be anything particular. If you want to see what kind of, you know, what options are there. And then we also have set up a fodder register. So if someone is looking for fodder and that they're running out of fodder themselves, they can ring and put their name on a register in the local Chagas office. So say Tullamore there or Mullingar or any of the Chagas offices, they have that register. And we have people ringing in as well that are offering silage for sale too, and they're giving their name and their number to be handed out to people that if they want it. So we're kind of in the go in between people. We've nothing to do with the payment or anything like that, but we'll put people in touch that are looking for fodder and people that have fodder, and we'll do that for the next couple of weeks too. So it might be some little bit of help.
Also, Pierce, there was announced yesterday this fodder transport support scheme by the department. This is giving people some financial assistance in relation to transport costs. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's basically it, MJ. So, I mean, if you stand back and look at, we did a survey a couple of weeks ago. Now, it's out of the hit now, but back a few weeks ago, we did a survey, and certain parts of the country, you know, they probably maybe planned a bit longer. I'm thinking of, say, farms up along the western seaboard and that, you know, they're not under as much pressure, or maybe lower stock farms, they're not under as much pressure in terms of silage stocks running out. So there is silage in the country. It's just as you move down south and you move across the east and you move down southeast where I'm based, you know, and especially more heavily stocked dairy farms and that, you know, a lot of them have ran out of silage weeks ago, and they're kind of running out of where to buy it locally now. They've kind of used up a lot of the silage that's around available locally. So the department has announced yesterday that they're going to subsidise the transport of fodder across the country. So that if there is fodder 80, 100, 150 kilometres away, you know, there is a subsidy there. And it's only for fodder that's coming at least 75 kilometres. And we haven't got the full details on this yet. We're being told and the co-ops are going to be involved in seeing whether people are eligible for this or not. It'll have to be done through the co-ops, and they'll verify whether the silage is moved. There's a payment there. Yeah, payment, I think it is, of for a typical 4x4 bale of silage, I think the amount is €30 to transport, which, you know, should transport quite a distance, you know, if needs be, if you can get your hands on that silage.
Yeah, it is beneficial, Pierce. So between the helpline, between the register that you have set up, between the Chagas office and between the transport support scheme, look, there are measures being put in place. And look, as you do say, it is at sometimes when you're looking out the window and you're looking at this rain, you say to yourself, it's never going to end. But we do have to bear with it. Well, there is going to be light at the end of the tunnel.
There is, and there already is, MJ. If you mean driving around the country, what we're telling people is not every part of your farm is as wet as you think it is. You know, if you get out and walk and walk on it, you'd be surprised after a day or two. You know, even now, today, Wednesday, I know there's a bit of rain today, but you'd be surprised where there's a couple of acres that is not overly heavy, is not very wet. And light stock yearlings, weanlings, you know, wouldn't do an awful lot of damage on that. And what we're saying is get stock out if you can onto those dry parts of the farm, especially if the covers aren't very heavy, and move them on quickly then, kind of. Don't let them muck up patches, you know, that's only going to cause more damage. But, you know, that'll get you another few days. And even, you know, if you were shed there with 20 or 30 weanlings, and even if you could get half them out, it's amazing mentally the pressure that takes off. That, well, okay, the 15 that are left there are under less pressure, they're eating less silage, they're using less straw, or they're not putting as much slurry in the tank, and the 15 that are out are going to hopefully stay out, you know. So, and with the good weather hopefully on the horizon, you know, you'd hope the rest of those cattle will be turned out Sunday next week then. So it just take the pressure off. It's a walk the farm. You might be surprised that there's some fields there that are just not quite as wet maybe as you think.
Yeah, and as you say, Pierce, taking it a day at a time as well is the way to do it at the moment. Like a day, 24 hours means a lot, especially when stock is in the shade. And look, there's slurry bubbling up now under cattle's feet because guys can't get it spread and whatnot. So as you say, smaller stock out to maybe different fields. And look, fingers crossed.
Spread around a bit.
Yeah, exactly. And fingers crossed, Pierce, I'm talking to you this time next week. We'll be talking about how the weather has come good. On that note, I'm going to let you go, Pierce. And many thanks. I have those numbers and I'm going to give them out again towards the end of the hour for anyone who is interested in them. Pierce, many thanks for joining me on the programme.
Thanks, MJ.
On the subject of weather, Cathal Nolan from Ireland's Weather Channel, I'm hoping, is on the other line. Cathal, do we have you?
Well, MJ, very good evening.
Very good, Cathal. Look, we were speaking there to Pierce Kelly from Chagas. It's weather, weather, weather now in all areas of agriculture. And we are hopeful for some positive news coming around the corner. What have you got for us, Cathal? What's in store weather-wise?
Well, I suppose, look, the good news, MJ, is that we can see a drier spell of weather developing as we go into next week. Before that, we do have some rain to contend with over the next couple of days. Tomorrow and Friday, there'll be relatively overcast days. There'll be outbreaks of rain, patchy rain at that, across the Midlands. Maybe the odd heavier burst. Not too heavy, but certainly not an improvement of conditions. As we go into Saturday, a band of rain crosses the country during the middle of the day on Saturday, clearing off that evening. And then it's a case of sunshine and showers for Sunday into Monday, though I think for many parts of the Midlands, there will be, I suppose, equal drying in comparison to the amount of showers that we see. It's after Monday next week that we start to see high pressure build closer to the country. It looks like settling in across the country for a time during the middle of next week. And as we get towards the end of the next week, it's a little bit uncertain at the moment. It looks as though it shifts a little bit farther to the northwest. That allows a cold northerly airflow to develop across the country. Now, while it's cold, it's a much drier direction of wind that we're getting, especially here in the Midlands. It would look like a pretty dry spell beginning from around about Tuesday of next week and continuing on for maybe 7 to 10 days at that stage.
Very good, Cathal. Well, that is better news than we have heard in a while. Temperature-wise, and you were talking about it getting mild, we definitely need it to dry, but what we really need is we just need those ground temperatures up to get grass growing and get it moving. I'm seeing just on the Met Aran app here over the next couple of days, we're looking at temperatures in around 14. From next week on, with that high pressure coming in, are we going to stay in double figures, do you think, temperature-wise?
That's the tricky aspect of this forecast. Over the course of the next couple of days, certainly temperatures will be above average, as you said, up around 14, maybe 15 degrees Celsius. Into the weekend, initially they take a little bit of a tumble, so through Sunday into Monday, things will be cooler. It's a northwesterly airflow. They'll be back down at around about maybe 8 to 11 degrees Celsius. For the middle part of next week, when the high pressure comes in across us, it looks like becoming milder at that stage for a time. So temperatures by day up to, again, about maybe 14, 15 degrees Celsius. Towards the end of next week is where we need to, I suppose, keep a close eye on the temperatures. As that high, at the moment, it's anticipated to shift a little bit farther back to the northwest. That would allow a colder northerly airflow to develop. Daytime temperatures between about 6 to 9 degrees at that stage, with a risk of overnight frost at that point. that's the concern I have in the forecast at the moment. I'm not so much worried in terms about the dryness into next week. I think it will become much drier, but towards the end of next week, those temperatures, we just need to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we take the dry in as it stands. Colin, I'm going to say many thanks for joining me. It's Ireland's Weather Channel. You're available on Facebook there. And I think you're giving a forecast at 7:30 live this evening. So if people want to have a look at you, they can get you. And that's your channel, which you have built up. Many followers have you now, Colin?
I think we're about 83,000, so we've just oversold Croke Park at this stage.
Very good, yeah, very good. Well, it shows you're doing the right thing, people continuing to click the follow button. So thanks for joining us, Cathal, and thanks for that bit of, I'm going to say, good news for the farming community here in the Midlands.
Thanks very much, MJ. Take care.
Cathal Nolan there from Ireland's Weather Channel. So, look, high pressure coming in next week and it is drier. Maybe we'll just ignore that little bit about the ground frost towards the end of next week and we'll kind of focus on the next 6 to 7 days. And with temperatures increasing over these few days, we just really need to get ground drying up. And that's step one. And once that has occurred, then we'll go on with the rest. But fingers crossed, that's what occurs. Coming up after a break, we're going to be talking about the Cultivate Loan Package. I have Laois woman Belinda Gies. She is from People's First Credit Union in Port Laois. And also Joe Healy. He is Cultivate spokesman, former IFA president. So stay tuned for that.
Country Life on Midlands 103. Brought to you by W. Orshaw, Burlington Business Park, Tullamore. Supplier of New Holland's tractors in the Midlands. WORshaw.ie.
And you're very welcome back to Country Life here on Midlands 103. Now we're moving on to financial matters and specifically the Cultivate package which credit unions around the country offer. We're going to be speaking to Belinda Gies from People's First Credit Union in Port Laois in just a moment. But in advance of that, Joe Healy, former IFA president who's been involved in Cultivate from the start, joins us. Joe, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
No problem. Good to be on.
You're more than welcome, Joe. The Cultivate package and the Cultivate whole area came into being a number of years back. You've been involved in it for a while, Joe. It's proven very successful for the farming community.
It has, and I suppose that's because it was a new package that was designed specifically with farmers in mind. I was president of MOCRA back in the 1990s, president of IFA there, 2016 to 2020. And definitely one of the things that hadn't changed in the meantime was access to finance. And it was Mick Tulkeen and from St. Charlotte's Credit Union and three other credit unions here in Galway invited me to a meeting one night, and it was to talk about that. And at the time now as well, there was an EU-funded study done that showed that there was a gap in the market, in the agri-lending market in Ireland, of about €800 million. And that's equivalent to a total year's borrowing on Irish farms. So it was a big gap. And a number of reasons were given for it, MJ, in that some of the main reasons included viable farmers being refused for loans. A second reason was where farmers were approved, the red tape and the bureaucracy and the time lag. Farmers just said, oh, to hell with it, it isn't worth it. And the third thing, which is very important, was the whole relation of personal contact. Like, I'm a farmer myself, and if there's one thing I like, it's four or five areas that involves quick, simple, flexible, personal and local. And the credit unions ticked all those boxes. So, you know, we put the package together specifically with farmers in mind. It was an unsecured loan of up to €75,000. And the rate, which is very variable, very favourable at the moment, probably 0.5% at least better than any of its competitors. Because the ECB rate fluctuations doesn't affect it, given that it's members' funds that's used for loans. So it grew from the four in Galway, and at the moment there's over 50 credit unions offering the package, and they have over 170 outlets around the country. So it's pretty nationwide. I think there's only two or three counties that it's not involved in, and hopefully that those will be boxed off before the year is out. And that included, like, there was 2 years there with COVID that it was difficult enough to have meetings to set it up in new credit unions. So last year saw the applications double from 2 years prior to that, with applications for over €51 million. And look, I mean, MJ, it's used for almost anything on the farm, from the tractor to the shed to fencing to land purchase. So, you know, it's farmers don't have to be a member of the local credit union. They can go in, sign up, fill out the forms. And Vermont All documentation, if they need a loan, Vermont All documentation is in place. There's an answer within 24 to 48 hours. And that means an awful lot to farmers, you know, because they have to make investments to keep up with nitrates, slurry storage, and at the moment, working capital in relation to fodder. And if I could, just in case I forget to say it later, MJ, just in relation to the fodder crisis, I'm convinced that there's enough fodder in the country. There's even, like, the problem is that farmers are looking out at grass and they just can't get out to graze it. So I'd urge, and I know the IFA are doing a fair bit of work in this area, I'd urge farmers with fodder to, you know, bales or a corner of a pit of silage, to let the local IFA officer, the local county chairman, know that they have it, and they can, you know, act as a conduit then to get that fodder to farmers that are probably hard pushed for fodder at the moment. Because, you know, it's amazing if this weather cleared up. I know we're a good while saying that now, but, you know, every day we're a day closer to an improvement. A week or 10 days or a fortnight could make a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. And look, the Cultivate package, we spoke to you there, Joe, I suppose, on the macro scale, countrywide. I'm going to go on the micro scale now. I'm going to go a little bit more local, and I'm going to Belinda Gies. She's from the People's First Credit Union in Port Laois. Belinda, many thanks for joining me here on the programme this evening.
Thanks. Thank you very much, MJ, and good evening to yourself and to Joe and to your listeners. Thanks for having me on.
More than welcome, Belinda. So you're from People's First Credit Union, Port Laois. Ye are a grouping of a number of credit unions in County Laois. Can you just tell us exactly who ye are?
Yes. So People's First Credit Union was, I suppose, originally formed back in between a merger of Port Laois Credit Union and Abbeyleix Credit Union back in 2015. And we subsequently merged then with the Thai Credit Union in 2017. I suppose from then we've really gone from strength to strength. We operate from four branches. Port Laois is our head branch, and we have our Abbeyleix and a Thai, and we have a sub office in Strabally. So we're very strong within our own area. Our membership is growing year on year. We're up to about 42,000 members. We would have an asset size of 156 million. Last year, we would have lent out 21 million in loans, bringing our total loan book value up to over 40 million for last year. So that's an increase of 11% on our 2022 figures. So there's a demand for loans, and we're very much out there lending at the moment.
Let's talk about a loan on the ground now, Belinda. So say, for example, a farmer wants, we get cattle out to grass and we get back to normal and we get past this current blip that we're in that's been going on a while now. But let's say we're talking 2-3 weeks' time. Things are going well again. Grass is growing, cattle are out, and farmers can reevaluate and maybe look at something they'd been planning earlier in the year. A big thing at the moment is that of solar panels on sheds. We have TAMS grants for them. Dairy farmers especially are looking at them to try and minimise ESB bills. The likes of your Cultivate loan is something that would fit into this bracket quite well. It's in that region. It's up to 75,000. Say a farmer is spending 30 to 40,000 and he wants to go in and get a loan for that. I walk in the door and I say, hello, looking for this loan, 35, 40,000. What are you going to look for from me, please?
Well, I suppose, first of all, you would have to be a member, okay, but as Joe pointed out, that's, you know, that's not a, once you're living and working within our own area of the credit union, we can sign you up and you can apply for the loan on the same day, so that's not a big job. We then do require documentation similar to any other financial institution that they would be looking for, in lines of bank statements, a statement from your accountant say that your tax was up, pay slips if you were working, if you had off-farm income. If you're involved in dairy, we would need your milk statement from the previous year, and also any other documentation that you could really, I suppose, provide to us that to bulk up your application. And once everything was in order and the loan is granted, as all our lenders are based in-house, so we can make a decision very, very quick. And all our lenders are Chagas trained in financial agricultural accounts, so they know what they're talking about. And once the loan is approved, particularly like the likes of solar panels, where maybe a farmer is receiving a TAMS grant, either they've applied for the grant or that grant hasn't come through. But in those cases, they need to pay for the equipment and the installation up front. Once all is in order, we give the farmer the loan. And then when the loan is, when the farmer receives the grant payment from the department, he can repay or she can repay the funding that they would have received from the grant back to us. And also too, we've had farmers who are VAT registered, so they can clear the VAT off it as well. And in those circumstances, particularly with TAMS grants, we don't charge, or you know, the farmer won't be penalised for lump sum or early repayments, which is you know, a good thing for the farmers.
The main question, well, two questions, Belinda. One of them is that of your current interest rate. So I'll ask you that one first. What are you charging on the Cultivate package at the moment?
So the Cultivate is unsecured. The rate is 6.5%, 6.75% APR, and that's a fixed rate. So it won't be going up. It won't be hiked because we're not linked to the ECB.
Yeah, no, it is good. It's good value. The second question then is, you need to be a member, which is fine. You go in and you fill out your form, but you need to be in the locality of a credit union, I believe. So you're Portlaoise, Abbeyleix, Stradbally, you're up in the Thai as well. Do you need to be within a certain radius or distance to that actual branch? How does that work?
Yeah, so if you can imagine, I suppose, if you can visualise a map, and I suppose take Portlaoise as your base point, go across to Thai, down to Abbeyleix, and from Abbeyleix back up to Portlaoise, that circle, that would be the area that People First Credit Union looks after. So anybody who is living and working within that area can become a member once you're working and living within our area. And again, we understand that, you know, everybody is different. So some farmers like to come in and they like to join face-to-face. They can fill out an application form throughout any of our branches. And other members, I suppose, prefer to do their business online. We do have a facility on the People First website, peoplefirstcu.ie, where you can actually onboard online and you can upload your documentation through our app.
Very good, Belinda. Great rundown there, I have to say. I'm going to say many thanks to Joe Healy at the outset there, and many thanks to yourself, Belinda, as well. I'm sure you're going to be very busy with that package in the current times and going forward. And we will speak to you again on the programme. Belinda there and Joe Healy. I'm going to move to an ad break really quickly. And coming up after the ad break, then I'm going to speak to James Donlan. James is the chairperson of the Arbrac Society. They have a sale coming up in Cashel on this Saturday morning. So stay tuned. We're going to hear about that in just a moment.
Country Life on Midlands 103. Brought to you by W. Orshaw, Burlington Business Park, Tullamore. Supplier of New Holland's tractors in the Midlands. worshaw.ie.
And you're very welcome back to Country Life here on Midlands 103. Now we're moving on to a bull sale taking place this coming weekend in Cashel in County Tipperary. And it is the Arbrac Society. James Donlan, chairperson of the society, joins me now. James, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
Thanks very much for having me on your show.
You're more than welcome, James. We're going to chat about the sale in just a moment. But tell us, first time we spoke to you here on the programme, what part of the world are you from yourself?
I'm from a place called Dunmore in North Galway, there, just north of Tuam.
And you're a little bit away from us here in the Midlands. We've been talking about the weather. We can't avoid it in agriculture over the course of this evening or over the course of the last 8 or 9 months, really. That's how long it's been raining in this neck of the woods. What about yourselves in that area, James? Did you get a bit of respite at all over the spring, or has the weather been just as bad?
Well, look, it almost seems at times like in every second or every third day you get a good day and you think, oh yes, the weather is starting to pick up, and the following day all the nice fine and the drying is ruined by another day's rain. So it's just it's a constant there. But I rather believe, from talking to people around the country, that, you know, other parts of the country are probably getting worse than parts even the west.
Mm. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, normally up in your neck of the woods, you're getting the worst brunt of it. But I don't believe that has been the case I'm going to say this year, but it's been going on for so long. It's hard to know when this rain started and when it will end. But your own sale is coming up, regardless of all of this, James. Look, breeding is still going to happen. Cows are going to go back and calf in a little over a month, I suppose. And that's why these sales happen in the month of April for the most part. And Arbrac is an interesting breed. Covered it here in the programme here and there over the last few years, but it's definitely growing in popularity. And the reason for that is what, James? Do you think, obviously, you're producing the goods on the ground?
Well, look, at the Arbrac breed is very suited to whether you're a suckling beef farmer or whether you're a dairy farmer. They can fit very well into either systems. there, and the Suckler, like Aubrac, is a Suckler breed there, a hardy hill breed, but produces good quality beef with good growth rate and conformation. Then from the dairy point of view, the Aubrac is, you know, a very good alternative to the more traditional breeds that have been used over the years in the dairy herd for producing the beef calves. And in fact, ICBF in their dairy beef index, the Aubrac come out on average as the top indexed breed of all the breeds.
Yeah, also the dairy farmer likes the gestation period to be nice and short and get that cow milking as soon as possible. That's somewhere where you have a win as well.
We do, yes. Aubracs do not carry a huge amount of time there. Well, we won't claim we're the very shortest, but we still don't carry big amounts of time. And the small, easy calf coming out that's up and about there and doesn't put too much pressure on the dairy cow, so she's ready to get back into milk there without suffering.
What sort of cows would they make, Adrian, or James, I should say, for if you were to bring them on and as a suckler? Are they docile? Are they good mothers?
Well, no. In general, the Aubrac is a very quiet breed. They are, you know, they're great characters. Sometimes can be a little stubborn, but other than that, you'd prefer that rather than ones that are wild there. But they're very good. But because of their background from France, they are from the hills in France. Their hardiness comes through, and their ease of management there, and you know, they don't require high levels of feeding and maintenance of them there. They work very well in the suckler, and you know, they're a medium sized breed, so you know, they don't grow into these big huge elephants of cows, as I would often describe, you know, some of the suckler cows, you know, that don't work in many parts of the country, these big huge heavy cows, you know, they're not suitable for a lot of parts of the country.
Yeah, and they also
eat into the profits.
Yeah, exactly. James, your sale that's coming up on Saturday, coming in Cashel, what have you on offer? Tell us.
Well, we have 20, you know, good, strong Aubrac bulls there. You know, I think there's one or two of them over the 2 year old, but you know, strong. The vast majority are over 18 months, between 18 months and 2 years of age there. So they're bulls that are ready for going out working, whether it's on the dairy herd or the suckler herd.
And we were speaking about the Cultivate loan package just before the break with Belinda from People's First Credit Union here in Port Leash. Joe Healy was speaking to us as well, a fellow county man of yourself. Will we have to head for one of these loans before we go down to Cashel on Saturday morning? How much are we going to have to pay for one of these Aubrac bulls? Tell us, James.
Well, look, I'm sure every breeder will have his own figure, but I imagine there that most ones that will be, if they're seeing 3,000, they will be looking to sell there. That would be what I would consider, you know, a good average figure. But, you know, you never know on the day what an individual breeder, what they're going to look. But, you know, between maybe 2.7 to 8 up to 3.5, I would imagine that's the sort of bracket that you will be talking about.
Yeah, that'd be the median figure. And sounds about right, to be honest with you. I know it was an awful trade last year for poly bulls. They were nearly all gone at this time of the year. I don't think it's quite as strong this year. I haven't heard it on the ground, but they were making huge money last year. I think the trade has softened slightly, but there's still obviously a good appetite for a good bull.
Well, there is always an appetite for a good bull. And see, that's the problem. If there's too much a swing in a particular direction in 1 year, you will find it doesn't sustain that. You know, there will be changes again because, you know, nothing, it doesn't do in any system to go too severe in one way or another. There's a place for different breeds of bulls in the system. And if everyone is buying one breed 1 year, it may not suit their individual system.
Finally, James, what time do you kick off at on Saturday?
The sale will be starting at 2 p.m. You know, Cashel Mart are having their regular sale on the day, but our slot for starting is at 2 p.m. But the bulls should be there by around 11 o'clock. So it gives plenty of time for farmers to come and have a good look at the bulls, maybe talk to the breeders of the bulls there so that they're ready when the sale starts.
Lovely stuff, James. I'm sure you're going to have a busy day on Saturday. Many thanks for joining us and giving us a rundown of that. And we wish you all the best in the sale.
Thanks very much, MJ.
James Donlan there, chairperson of the Arbrac Society, and that sale is this Saturday coming, Cashelmart, at 2 p.m. Now, I'm going to shoot to an ad break, and then we are moving on to the Tullamore Show. It is being launched this weekend, and with that launch, there's also a Young Handlers event. Martina Neville from the committee is going to join me now in just a moment to have a chat about that, so stay tuned.
Country Life on Midlands 103, brought to you by W. Orshaw Burlington Business Park Tullamore, supplier of New Holland's tractors in the Midlands, worshaw.ie.
And you're very welcome back to Country Life here on Midlands 103. It is the last segment of this evening's programme, and we're moving on to the Tullamore Show. Martina Neville joins us in studio here in advance of their event this weekend. It's the launch, and then there is also a Young Handlers event. Martina, many thanks for popping into studio here and having a chat with me.
Thanks, MJ.
Now, you're a busy woman, because you told me you suited you to come down for 10 to 8 because you had to make sure the cows were milked before you came down. So, most important things, is that job done all right?
It's done, yes, yeah, all done.
Yeah, well, that is the main thing. You have a big weekend coming up. And look, we're talking about the weather here all evening on the programme. It's hard to escape in agriculture at the moment. And look, you're dairy farming yourselves at home.
Yes.
It's something that we can't avoid. But the Tullamore Show is something that we can look forward to. And hopefully it'll be a nice sunny afternoon in August when all this is long forgotten about and we forget about this spring we had. It is nice to have something to look forward to. And it's a big day in the calendar for farmers, not only in the Midlands, but all around the country.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Everybody looks forward to it, and the work has began like after the last show for next year's show, so it's ongoing.
And what you have this weekend, you have your launch, but you have a lovely event. I'm just looking at the little point of sale for it here. It's Showmanship Basics, the Young Handlers event, and it's this Sunday the 14th of April. So really what you're doing here is you're looking to the future, and that's what has to be done with an event like yourselves.
That's right. It's geared for children. Well, anyone that can hold on to an animal with a halter on it. We're just doing a little workshops with dairy animals, beef animals and sheep. And anyone that's interested in coming in and having a look, that they mightn't have ever shown an animal before, but they just might think, God, maybe if I see it done, I might be able to do it myself. So we'll have a few people doing demonstrations on the day in the different areas, showing us how to wash the animals, prepare them, to groom them, clipping and whatever, all those little, from the head to the feet. And then another section where they'll be showing how to walk the animals in the ring. So, and as anyone that knows, the we've the dairy cattle, and then there's the beef cattle and the sheep, and they're all very different. So we'll have people that are used to doing it in the different breeds and the different areas. So hopefully we've everything covered, but it's open to all. It's a free event. We just ask people to register on the Tullamore Show website just to give us an idea of numbers.
Yeah, very good, Martina. And one thing I think about this is you could have a family now with a youngster that has an interest in this, but showing animals is kind of something that is in your genetic makeup or in your breeding. Maybe your dad or your mom might have done it, or grandfather, grandmother, and it kind of is stepped down. But obviously sometimes there's going to be a new generation that wants to start it. And that's the idea of something like this. That's why I think this is lovely. But the fact that you have stock available on hand on the day. So for example, if you had a youngster 8 or 9 years of age and you bring him down and they actually get to walk an animal and get a feel for it, you could really spark something in them, a love or a passion for this going forward.
Oh, yes, totally. As you say, normally it's handed down from generation to generation. But we've often seen where a young person just has an interest in animals to help out on the farm, or just there could be a neighbour of somebody that has a farm, and they just have an interest in showing animals, and just something just clicks with them. And once they get a little bit of help or guidance, then their confidence builds. Doing a little bit of showing, and little by little, all they need is encouragement. So we're hoping a day like, or a morning like this, will give the children that little step, a bit of guidance.
Yeah, absolutely, Martina. Now, you spoke also about the work that's ongoing for the Tullamore Show. It's the National Livestock Show. It's a huge, huge, huge event. You have an office here across the way from us here in the Axis Business Park. And people might think, Asher, look, it's one day of the year. How long can it take to organise? But genuinely, you are organising it for an entire year. The day you're finished, you probably take a week or two off, but you're back at it then straight away. There is that much organising in it now.
That's correct. We from the week after the show, we have our meetings and we make our lists of where we need to improve and what went right and what went wrong. And we start from that, and everything has to be organised again. So it's a full year's job. Yes, totally. And we have great help there. We have Chelsea Cox in the office and Kathleen Rigney. They're there full time. And we have a great team and executive, and headed up with our chairman, Joe Malloy, and vice chairman, John Keena. So there's great help between all the volunteers, the executive committee, and for the year ahead, and then the few weeks in the run up to the show. There's never a dull moment. There's always things to be sorted out.
It's a huge community event, really, when you think about it, Martina, because everybody who's given their time is given it, you know, free of charge, and evenings and weekends and whatnot on the run up to it. It really does show when a number of like-minded people come together what can be achieved. Like, it's akin to the ploughing now at this stage when you're at the Tullamore Show. And I actually would speak to people and they'll say, are you going to the ploughing? They might say, well, look, I'm going to go to the Tullamore Show, so I probably won't go down to the ploughing. That shows what a monumental show you've built over the course of its life, which is testament to the people involved, but it's really something incredible.
Oh, it's testament, all right, to the people involved and from the generations that have gone before us, all the people that have built it up to what it is today. We're very proud of it. It does take a lot of work, but everything usually goes off very well on the day, and it's a very enjoyable day for everybody.
Fantastic stuff. Well, on that, Martina, we're just coming out of time, so I'm going to say that your Young Handlers event is this Sunday, 14th of April. It's in GVM Tullamore. It's on at 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock. Do you have anything else to say to me, Martina? Are you happy with that? Do you want to give
I'll mention again, we're just doing the launch on the day as well. The FBD are the main sponsors for the Tullamore Show. So we're just, we're having our launch for the show on the day as well.
Yeah.
So that's included in the day.
That's included in it. And for the young handlers, anyone who is interested, free of charge, there's going to be animals there on the day and you're going to be shown the basics of showmanship. Martina, many thanks for popping into the studio with me this evening. And that is it for this evening on Country Life. I'm going to say many thanks to everybody who joined me over the course of the last hour. Martina Neville here, who popped into the studio for a chat. James Donlan, the chairperson of the Aubrac Society, about their sale that's coming up on Saturday in Cashel. Joe Healy and Belinda Gies from People First Credit Union. Joe is a Cultivate spokesman, former IFA president, spoke all about the package that's on offer with some very attractive interest rates. Pierce Kelly from Chagas was on speaking about the current crisis that we're in. And if you have an issue and you're a grassland farmer, it's 05991 83155. And if you are a crop farmer, it's 05991 83533. That's the helpline, and give a call. If you are stuck for feed, please contact your local Chagas or IFA office and see if they can help you. There is a register there for people with additional feed. I'll be back with you next Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. as always. Shows repeated Sunday morning at 7 a.m. You can get us wherever you get your podcasts. MJ Space Cleary, C-L-E-R-Y, will pop up, and we'll speak to you in 7 days time when, please God, the weather will have settled and it will be dry. Good night and God bless.
Country Life on Midlands 103. Brought to you by W. Orshaw, Burlington Business Park, Tullamore. Supplier of New Holland's tractors in the Midlands. WORshaw.ie. It's almost 8 o'clock. Time to think of your next car. See the 241 Volkswagen range at Michael Moore, Port Arlington, VW.ie.